Welcome to Cardiology Today. Today's date is November 30th, 2025. Here are the latest research findings. Article number 1. Donor MHC-specific IgE augments the T and B cell alloresponse in a CD23-dependent manner. Donor major histocompatibility complex-specific immunoglobulin E augments both T cell and B cell alloresponses in a CD23-dependent manner. This mechanism indicates that immunoglobulin E, in addition to its known roles in allergic hypersensitivity, contributes to immune activation relevant to transplant rejection. The presence of donor major histocompatibility complex-specific immunoglobulin E has been observed in murine transplant models and in human kidney transplant recipients. These findings illuminate a previously unrecognized role for immunoglobulin E in modulating the alloimmune response, suggesting it influences transplant outcomes. Article number 2. Sick sinus syndrome elevates stroke risk in atrial fibrillation patients with low CHA2, DS2, NAGIV-ASC score. Sick sinus syndrome elevates stroke risk specifically in patients with atrial fibrillation who have a low CHA2, DS2, NAGIV-ASC score. This finding indicates that concomitant sick sinus syndrome acts as an independent risk factor for incident ischemic stroke, even in patients considered to be at lower risk by conventional scoring systems. This study, which analyzed a cohort of 24,960 patients, suggests that clinicians should consider the presence of sick sinus syndrome when assessing stroke risk in atrial fibrillation patients. Therefore, sick sinus syndrome requires careful consideration and comprehensive stroke prevention strategies for this patient population. Article number 3. The effect of pulmonary vein isolation on gastric motility. Pulse field ablation versus radiofrequency. Pulse field ablation for pulmonary vein isolation demonstrates a superior safety profile regarding gastric motility compared to radiofrequency ablation. Radiofrequency ablation for pulmonary vein isolation was observed to impair gastric motility due to collateral thermal injury. In contrast, pulse field ablation, being a non-thermal modality, preferentially affected cardiomyocytes and preserved gastric motility in patients with atrial fibrillation. This indicates that pulse field ablation offers a significant advantage in reducing the risk of gastric motility impairment during pulmonary vein isolation procedures. Article number 4. New technique to achieve total mitral isthmus block, targeting masked epicardial conductions. A novel technique effectively achieves total mitral isthmus block by successfully targeting masked epicardial conductions. The study identified that epicardial conduction played a key role in perimitral atrial tachycardia recurrence, which was subsequently addressed by this approach. Targeting these previously masked epicardial pathways with radiofrequency ablation proved feasible and instrumental in achieving complete and durable mitral isthmus block. This new method provides a crucial advancement for patients undergoing ablation for persistent atrial fibrillation. Article number 5. Prevalence, spectrum, and outcomes in patients with non-penetrant long QT syndrome. Non-penetrant long QT syndrome, defined as the absence of objective electrocardiographic or cardiac evidence of abnormal cardiac repolarization despite a positive genotype, represents a distinct clinical entity. This condition highlights that not all individuals with a long QT syndrome genotype manifest the typical prolongation of the QT interval or associated clinical events like syncope or sudden cardiac arrest. Understanding the prevalence, spectrum, and long-term outcomes of non-penetrant long QT syndrome is crucial for genetic counseling and personalized risk stratification. It offers a critical distinction within the broader long QT syndrome population for clinical management. You can find the links to the articles in the episode description or visit our website at podcast.explainheart.com for more details. Thank you for listening to Cardiology Today.